Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and today we're talking about a very uncomfortable topic. It is be bold or go home. And the premise that we have to kind of give to you guys today is, you know, be bold in your faith. Don't let what people think, say, or peer pressure from the world around you cause you to shrink back when things get tough. Now let's think about it. Many Christians face pressure, peer pressure, work culture, or even family expectations. And that is a lot of times to tone down their faith. Now, I'm not saying to be obnoxious with your faith. I'm not saying to go out there and, you know, do a charismatic vomit on everybody, you know. But what I am saying is, you know, don't allow the opinions of somebody to cause you to be silent when God's calling you to be bold in proclaiming your faith. The word says that we're supposed to be ambassadors for the kingdom. But if we're 100% silent all the time, or even most of the time, how are we actually an ambassador? An ambassador for a nation does not step back and take a passive role and say nothing. An ambassador is a vocal mouthpiece for the leader of his nation. And Vince, you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ. And if we don't, if we're not bold, if we're not, you know, how do you even want to put this, Vince? You know, forthright enough to where we speak even in an uncomfortable moment, even in a moment to where it could put us in danger when the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to go witness to those people, then is that not similar or the same as denying Christ and his, you know, in your faith when you will not even speak when he's asking you to?
That's a great question, Kirk, and I really appreciate that you laid that at my doorstep before I started talking today. Thanks a lot for that one. It's like, here, I'm not letting you come in on a nice, clean mat to walk in on. Kind of leave it in the muck and mire for you. No, I... yeah, of course. So, you know, I think it... Honestly, that particular situation, it could have to do with boldness, but that one could just have to do with disobedience, quite honestly. It just depends on fear of man or something like that. But I would have to say that you know, being bold for Christ, being bold in your faith, it can take on many different forms and facets. It's very multifaceted thing. It's not just standing on a street corner yelling and proclaiming Jesus. Sometimes, Kirk, I'm gonna use this word that's gonna hurt some people's feelings. Sometimes it means you have to have integrity when everybody else is cutting corners. Sometimes it means that you have to do the right thing even though it could end up hurting you.
Hey, I'm just cussing at everybody.
You know, you have to take accountability. Man, I'm just throwing out them bad words, aren't I? You have to take accountability for a situation. You have to actually have integrity, and maybe you're leading your department and you have to take responsibility for it because they didn't get it done. Why didn't they get it done? Well, maybe you missed something. Maybe you didn't. Who knows? Maybe they were coming at you because you are a believer. We can't look at it like that. We just have to take accountability for it, right? So sometimes it's literally just living out your life in front of people and being bold and being honest and being authentic with people and just telling them the truth. So it's not always that you're going to stand there on a soapbox yelling, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Sometimes it's just, there's times where I struggle. You're talking to someone, you say, "There's times I struggle. I'm having a hard time with this, but, God gets me through it." And you just testify to how God has brought you through different things. Sharing the gospel or sharing about Jesus, a lot of times it's just about sharing where he sits in your life, the place he occupies, how he's healed you. It's your testimony, right? But there's always that point where you should be able to, especially if it's someone you know that is not saved, there should be a point in there somewhere that you should deliver the actual gospel to them. I mean, if you're wondering, okay, some people, I guess I didn't think about it that way. I don't mean to use just Christianese verbiage and all that. So some people may say, well, what is the gospel? Telling them my testimony is the gospel. Yes and no. The gospel in its simplest form is you're talking about who Jesus is, what he did, right? The Bible says, I believe it's in Romans, it says that there are two requirements for salvation: to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So in order for them to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, we have to tell them who he is.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
we have to tell them what he's done. So some of that, of course, if you word it properly, it could come through your testimony.
Well, let's
So,
take it back. You're talking about being a witness, right?
yes.
And a lot of times what we forget about is the word martyr. And a lot of people get all scared every time you say the word martyr, but they forget to go back and look at the root. The root word actually means witness.
Right.
So when God's telling us to be a witness, he's telling us to be a martyr. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's calling us to lay our life down. It could be, but not necessarily. It means that he's calling us to be a living testament or a living epistle for his kingdom. That everything that we do in our life, we're supposed to be setting an example for the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be being basically like a public billboard on display for the world to see. Everything we do in our life should bring praise to God. It should bring glory to the kingdom, and it should testify with or without words about his kingdom, about his love, his grace, and his mercy.
Well, in doing so, you are, in essence, you're doing that's the very definition of being a martyr or laying your life down. It's you're laying it down for the sake of the gospel, and it might not result in a physical death, but it might result in ridicule. It might result in being kind of ostracized from the group of people that you're hanging out with. It might, so it might mean that you have to get a new friend group that has supported you and you've supported them all the years. So it can look different in many different ways, but it does happen. So again, and it's we use the term living martyr, but a lot of churches and a lot of places would say that we must die daily to the flesh, right? To our own wants, our own desires.
Oh, absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all. I think we need to go back. Let's do a little scriptural reference here.
That will
Matthew
work
10,
wonderfully.
32, 33 says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before the Father in heaven." So when we acknowledge God before other people, it's as if we're doing it right in front of the Lord himself, in front of the Father in heaven. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be guarded not to not acknowledge him, because if we deny him in front of others, that's as if we're denying him in front of the Father in heaven as well. There's that same type and shadow. And some people say, well, I'm afraid to do that in front of others. I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my job. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control." So God has given you a spirit of boldness, of love and self-control. It's not fear. He's given you peace, because what's the opposite of fear? It's peace. It's a soundness of mind, right? So we're not led by that fear, but instead we allow the Holy Spirit to give us peace and to direct us through his godly wisdom. Now, we can take Peter and Paul and John and to use them as examples. You know, we can look through the, you know, throughout Acts and Romans, all and throughout a lot of the New Testament, and really see some really bold, bold things that those men did. But we have to remember, they were ordinary people, ordinary men. They were not some superstar. They were not Christ incarnate. They were the apostles that were men. That the only thing they did was spend 3 years with Jesus. And even after they spent 3 years with him, just before Jesus was put on the cross, Jesus was still correcting Peter for denying him. And he's like, dude, you're about to deny me three times. Before that crows the third time, you're going to deny me, you know. And Peter's like, that's never going to happen. Well, he did it. He absolutely did. And we have to remember, these were not perfect men. They were fallible. They had issues. And guess what? Jesus loved them anyway. But they found a boldness in the Holy Spirit. If you look in the book of Acts, where it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, it was the Holy Spirit that empowered them to move beyond themselves and get into the place that they needed to be so that they could fulfill the purpose of Christ in their life. Because if they try to do it in their own strength, they were going to fail. Because God never created any of us to be Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect in this world, right? He wanted all of us to have to rely on his strength to accomplish his goals because he wants to be praised in this world. He is not looking for us all to become praised. He wants his name to be praised.
Right.
It's kind of like if you're working for a big company and you go out and say, hey, it was Mr. Moose that did everything, you know, or it was Vince that did everything, or you put your name in there, right? But your boss is like, you're supposed to be promoting XYZ Corp, Acme mm-hmm. Corp. You're not supposed to be promoting yourself and your brand. You're supposed to be promoting, I pay you. You're supposed to be paying, you know, promoting us. So why do we think that God's going to want us to promote ourselves, our ministry, our way of doing it, our brand, our Facebook page or Instagram, and it should be Jesus that's being glorified. Now, we can use social to glorify him and praise what's being done through him. You know, but when we bring all the attention to self and it all becomes about what I'm doing and what that some other person's doing, and it's not about glorifying the Lord, that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, I'd concur. It does make me, you mentioned Matthew, so I started looking because I couldn't remember where it was, but so in Matthew 5:16, it specifically, but the couple verses before that too, so 14, 15, and 16, but in 16 it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it says to let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good deeds and your moral excellence. So that there even is showing that Jesus wasn't just talking about standing on a corner or standing in a classroom and proclaiming the gospel. He's also talking about your actions and your moral excellence, which nowadays we would probably call integrity. So people are watching your actions and your integrity. Where do you stand? And I mean, what we've heard it for years, Kurt, that there's been pastors, preachers, and ministers alike say, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Which is very, very true, but I kind of feel like we've gotten to the point where we use that as a cop-out. Because sometimes we do have to say words.
Now you're meddling.
Yeah, you know, I'm figuring out if I'm getting anybody's face, I'm getting my own.
Feels like you're getting in my face. I don't understand this. What'd I do to you today?
I mean, listen, you picked the topic, so if we're going to go there and get uncomfortable, we're going to do it for both of us.
Amen. All right. Now, what's the reality here of the pressure? You know what I'm saying? So I know you faced it. I faced it. Most people that are our listeners have faced this as well. You know, when you're at work, and you have a faith-based value in your life, You know, those values can collide with company culture, especially today. It's worse today than it was when you and I were just getting out of Christ for the Nations.
It's true.
I mean, people didn't like it if you got too bold with your faith back then, but even today, it seems like it's even a little bit more, you know, pressure in that area. Now, another area it could be is among your friends, because you might have friends that are not necessarily saved, and maybe they mock or dismiss your faith. It could even be online where, you know, if you put a faith-filled post, you might get some backlash. Maybe some people might put some hate on there. There might be some trolls that try to, you know, put their little two cents in. But you got to remember about those trolls. Most of them have no life anyway. Let's just be real. You know, if you have enough time to sit there and troll people and always be like the watchdog to the internet, what are you doing in your life? I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not trying to be a hater. It's not that, you know, well, I'm gonna leave this other topic. I was about to go say something else, but I'm gonna leave that alone. All right. So when it comes to being bold for Christ, boldness reflects trust in God more than fear of man. Without boldness, faith can become silent or invisible. Standing firm can inspire others, and even often sometimes watching is encouraged by your courage. You know, when someone watches, they can be encouraged by your courage. So, you know, if Vince is out there proclaiming the gospel in the middle of, you know, Planet Fitness or Walmart, and I observe him, I can become inspired by him. I've actually had that happen before, you know, and it's inspiring to me, especially when I see a young person, you know, because you and I are a little bit older. We're not old yet, but we're getting close. But I see someone that's like, you know, up to 20 years younger than me sometimes. And when I hear them begin to get very bold with their faith, it encourages me. When I see the flame of the Lord on them, I feel so inspired. Because the last thing that I like to hear is for, and I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade if you ever said this, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time because this is uncomfortable and I'm going to make you uncomfortable. And as a disclaimer, what we do say is to make you uncomfortable on purpose. And
that's true.
But here's the thing. If you're the kind of person that when someone gets back home from a mission trip, you say, oh, just give him a little time. He'll calm down a little while. I feel bad for you because we're supposed to stir ourselves up. Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up in the faith that you received by the laying on the hand of the elders, you know, or the presbytery, whichever way you want to, you know, interpret that, and be encouraged. So Paul himself is saying, look, don't allow your flame to die down, but maintain that same fervency, that same passion, that same drive that you had in the beginning. And that's what we're all supposed to have. We're not supposed to allow our flame to be tempered. We're not supposed to allow our faith to become pressed down to the point to where we no longer have passion or a voice. We're supposed to be bold in anything that comes with Christ. Think about it. Jesus did not tell his disciples to not flee to other cities. He actually told them, when you're persecuted, flee to the other city. But when you read in the different New Testament chapters about them fleeing to the other cities, what was the one thing that, you know, followed immediately after they fled to the next city so they didn't, you know, get, you know, crucified or whatever for their faith? They immediately began to proclaim the name of Christ and the great works of Jesus to everyone they met. The passion that they had for Christ, the incredible drive that they had because of the love that they had from the Lord, it so overwhelmed them that they could not, even for their life's sake, keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm looking at this, and you had mentioned something earlier about just people watching your lifestyle, right? And one of the things that I have here is standing firm in your trials, right? And so when you're going through hard times, people watch you, especially if they know you're a believer, and they watch what you do and how you act when you're going through hard times. And it's not that they're expecting you to necessarily be perfect. Truth be told, they're waiting to see how bad you fail. And you may fail a bit, but you have the ability to get back up when you are a Christ follower. And, you know, some people say that they see that because of your faith, you don't crumble under the pressure. But I would have to say that in some cases, they watch you to see how you come out of it after the pressure has been applied. And what lessons have you learned? How have you changed? And because the truth is, there's certain situations, it's going to change you. There's no recovering the old person you were beforehand. You know, a death of someone close in your family, a near-death experience for yourself, things like that can change you permanently and mark you for good. So it's not about that you have to be the same person all the time. Jesus doesn't even want you to be the same person all the time. He expects you to continue to grow and learn and change and become closer to him and become a better believer today than you were yesterday and continuing to do so for the rest of your life.
That's proven out by
So,
the parable of the seed and the sower, and
right.
not only the seed and the sower, but also of the rich man and the talents.
Yeah. So it's the ability to come out of it and still be stronger, be stronger, and to help others. And because inevitably people will be like, man, if that would have been me, that would have broke me. And you'd be like, well, it did break me. And they're like, yeah, but then how are you smiling right now? Well, let me tell you how I'm smiling. Let me tell you how. What got me out of bed this morning? Let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you about the one who is able to help me get up when I don't want to get up, when I'm ready to just call it quits on everything. And that's where you get to begin to share your testimony. That's where you begin to share your faith. That's where you get the opportunities to begin to preach and spread the gospel, because people have seen you walk out this tough time and come out and still have not denied your faith, both in word and in action. Right.
That's right.
So,
Well, I think it has to be said, bold does not equal rude. Let me repeat that again. You being bold for your faith does not mean you're being rude to those around you. Boldness is truth with love.
Yeah.
For that to happen, there's some practical steps we can follow. We need to stay rooted in Scripture. Wash yourself daily in the reading of the Word of God. Pray. Stay connected to the Father. Pray for courage. You know, boldness is a fruit of walking with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Use wisdom. Sometimes boldness looks like being in quiet conviction. Other times it's like speaking up. There may be situations where you need to stay silent. And Holy Spirit, if you listen, He will tell you in those moments when to be silent. But in the moments where you don't know what to say, guess what? The word says He will give you the words to speak as you need them. But to do that, you need to be pouring the gospel in you regularly, on daily. You also need to surround yourself with encouragement. Be bold in your faith, and that is growing in community. That means be connected to a church. I would encourage you to have a Bible study or a small group that you can connect to. Something to give you a good community for brothers and sisters to encourage you. If you're a man, you need brothers. If you're a woman, you need sisters. Now, I got a call to action for you guys. I'm challenging you this week. Where do you need to step out in your boldness and within your faith? Is it at work? Is it with your family? Or is it just a simple conversation that the Holy Spirit's been bugging you to talk to the person that's in the grocery store line with you? Boldness doesn't necessarily mean winning the argument. Remember that. It
It
means,
doesn't mean the loudest in a room either.
exactly, it means not denying Christ and living authentically. And that doesn't mean putting on a fake show of who you are. That doesn't mean trying to put on the charismatic airs or trying to be like John down the street or Susie B down the road. You know, that's all, but you know, all excited. Maybe you're a little bit more relaxed. Maybe you're a little more chill. But you have your own way to be excited for the Lord and share your faith in a way that might touch someone that myself, Vince, or even someone even more energetic than us would never be able to touch. You need to be you. God never made a stamp so he could stamp out a bunch of Christians that are exact duplicates of each other. That's not what he's looking for. He wants you to be the version of you he created you to be, and to be bold in your faith in the way he made you.
I would agree with that. I mean, you know, one of the things that we have to face too is in doing that is sometimes it's rejection, right? We have to deal with facing that. So sometimes it gets uncomfortable, especially if you have dealt with that rejection in your life from family, friends, and other things like that. So I'd say in this case, look, boldness is just like you said early on in the program about being obedient to doing what God said to do. So in this case, boldness is just choosing obedience, right? You're choosing to be obedient over the approval of man. You're choosing to be honored by God instead of honored by man, right? So, and to back that up, I mean, John 15, I think it's verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, and it does, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you. As we even see in stuff happening today, it loves its own and would treat you with affection, but you are not of the world. But I have chosen you to come out of the world, and because of this, the world hates you. Remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If you keep my word, then they'll come after you, basically. So I'm sorry, my eyes started to get a little foggy reading. So,
are you saying you need reading glasses, buddy?
No, I'm saying that I'm getting tired. And the screen is affecting my eyes. So, no, but the gist of all of that I read is basically this. If you belong to the world, the world's not going to care what you say. But the minute that you begin to say, I belong to Jesus, and I'm choosing to do what he's asking me to do or wanting me to do, then the world is going to come against you. And it's hard. It is really hard for people, especially people who are people-pleasing or have dealt with rejection. It's really, really hard, even for those that haven't, to not fall subject to the praises of man.
Absolutely.
It's easy, especially when you get accolades and you're good at something and people are like, oh my gosh, you're the greatest, you're the best. And to reject that and put that down and say, I'm choosing obedience.
That's exactly right. That's one of the points that I wanted to make, and I'm glad you brought it up. Arrogance and, you know, making yourself pumped up is not holiness. You know, just because you talk a certain way, because you act a certain way, does not give you, you know, righteousness. So you need to live the life, live the fruit, right? You need to live your life in such a way that you allow the fruit of the Spirit to be active in your lifestyle and what you put your hands to. So that means maybe changing the way you do business every day so that you reflect Christ in everything you put your hands to. But remember, boldness is not rudeness, and holiness is not arrogant. It's not an attitude, and it's not pride. It's humility. It's love. It's loving others just like you love yourself. And many times it's putting others before yourself, even when you don't want to. And it could even be that if Vince drives a much nicer car than me, praising God for it, because he has the grace and the mercy that was poured on him to have that car. That's just an example. But think about it. Be bold or go home. Faith isn't meant to hide. Boldness will not only strengthen your walk, but can also enrich the lives and encourage those that are watching you. Vince, do you want to pray over them, or would you want me to pray over them today before we close?
I don't know. I'm feeling like you might have that on that one.
Got it,
If I
brother.
got something out, I'll add it at the end.
Sounds good. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for all the listeners that are joining us today. We ask you, Father God, just to be with them, to strengthen them and encourage them. We just rebuke and bind division, spite, envy out of any of our listeners or anyone that's listening. We ask you, Father God, to fill everyone fresh and new with your Holy Spirit. Encourage them, Father God. Ask you, Father God, that anyone that's struggling in their faith to stand up and be bold for their faith, that you'll give them a wisdom on how they need to do that in a way that will encourage them, help them with their boldness, but also that they'll use wisdom in the way they deliver it, Father God, so they won't be out of step or out of character. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy and your strength that you're pouring into them right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just pray that you would give them the strength, the endurance, and the peace. Help them to follow your peace. Help them to walk in your peace, no matter what the situation, no matter what the turmoil, no matter what the hardship. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Guys, if this show has encouraged you, make sure to share it. Share it with your friends, your loved ones, even maybe someone that you don't even know or like. Send it out. Let them be encouraged. We also would love to hear from you. We would love to get your prayer requests so that we can be praying alongside you, whether you're a pastor or someone that's just attending church. We want to hear from you. We want to pray with you. Uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. Guys, if you also would like to support us, you can do that at the Moose Ministries page as well. Guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next time.
Stay uncomfortable, y'all.